Chelek Tezayin Parshas Vayakhel Sicha Aleph. In Parshas Vayakhel, we return to the Mishkan and the abundance and haste and generosity with which the nation brought their donations. We read of the various donations of gold and silver, copper, blue, purple, and red dyed wool, goat hair, spun linen, animal skins, and then finally about the donations brought by the Nesiim, the onyx and precious stones, oils, and perfumed incense. The Pasuk in Perek Lamed Hei, chapter 35, verse 27 reads, V'hanesiim heviu es avnei hashoyham, v'es avnei hamiluyim, la'efeid u'lachoshen. The chieftains of the tribes brought lapis lazuli and other stones for the setting in the ephod and for the breastplate. Rashi quotes the first two words in this Pasuk, V'hanesiim heviu, which, it should be noted, is written in the Torah with a letter Yud missing in the titled Nesiim. Rashi quotes these two words, V'hanesiim heviu, and the chieftains brought, and teaches, Amar Rabbi Nosson. Rabbi Nosson said, Ma ra'u Nesiim lihisnadev b'chanukas ha-mizbeach b'tchila, u'melechas ha-mishkan lo'i hisnadvu b'tchila. What was it that the Nesiim saw that prompted them to donate first to the dedication of the Mizbeach, which is discussed later in Parshas Nasai, but they did not do so in bringing donations to the Mishkan. They did not bring their donations first. Elokach amru Nesiim. This is what they calculated. This is what they said. Yisnadvu tzibur ma shemisnadvin. Uma shemachasrin anu mashlimim aysay. Let the community contribute all that they will contribute. And then what is lacking, we will supply. But when the people brought everything needed, as it says in the Pasuk, all was provided for what was needed to make the Mishkan. There was even extra. And Moshe Rabbeinu had to tell them to stop. The Nesiim then asked, what can we do now? Therefore, they brought the Shechem stones. So when it came to donations for the altar, they brought donations first. And Rashi concludes, since at first they were lazy, a letter is missing from their title, and Nesiim is written with a missing yud. Now it seems that Rashi is saying that the fact that their donation is mentioned last means we must accept at face value that they actually brought their donation last. We can say that their donation is mentioned last only because it follows the order of the commandment that Hashem gave to Moshe at the beginning of Parshas Truma, where is listed the donations to be brought, and in this order, with the Avnei Shoyham and Avnei Miluim mentioned last, and also in the order that Moshe instructs the nation in our Parsha. And we can't say this for two reasons. One reason is that our verse should then have come immediately after the Pasuk that speaks of the community and all the donations that the nation brought. And two, there is actually a separation in the verses between the donation of the Nesiim and to the Pasuk that speaks of the generosity of all the community of men of Israel that is mentioned earlier. And this leads us to understand that something else is afoot here, and it becomes obvious that the Pasuk intends to emphasize that the chieftains of the tribes, the Nesiim, brought their donations last. Which is, of course, really hard to wrap your head around. These were the heads of the tribes of our nation. Why did they delay in bringing their donations to the Mishkan project until all other donations were in? To which Rashi seems to respond that this was intentional. They said, let the people bring what they bring and we'll supply what's missing. And this laziness, Rashi says, results in the missing yud in Nesiim in the verse. But Rashi, in telling us this, gives a really long explanation. And it's an explanation that brings up more questions than it answers. Why does Rashi begin by saying, what prompted the Nesiim to bring the offerings first at the altar dedication. This discussion here in Rashi should speak about what Rabbi Nosson says regarding the fact that they delayed in bringing donations to the Mishkan. Not that it should begin with what did they do later on in Parshas Nosson, the bringing of donations to the dedication of the altar. As well, in the explanation and answer to this, we have a long introduction about the Nesiim saying, let the congregation bring what they bring. Rashi, it seems, should have just shortened this all to the reason that he gives at the end, that they were lazy and they didn't take immediate action. But let's go a bit deeper than this. How is it even possible to say that the entire reason the Pasuk details the donations of the Nesiim, considering them donations even after all donations have been listed, and the verses have already deviated from that precise topic of donations, is just to let us know that the Nesiim were lazy and late in bringing things. The Torah is careful with only using positive talk. Even in describing an impure animal, Torah uses positive speech, as when Noach took the animals into the ark, Hashem guided him, saying, take from the pure animals and from the animals lacking purity. It doesn't even say not the impure animals. Certainly the Torah doesn't bring this pasuk just to tell us that the Nesiim were lazy. There are a few more issues that need to be addressed. One is a clear contradiction in one statement in Rashi. Rashi says, the Nesiim didn't know what to do because the congregation had brought everything necessary. But then we read in that same sentence that the Nesiim brought the onyx stones and the other precious stones for the Choshen and Ephod, as well as the oils, perfumed oils, for the lightings and for incense. Also, the nation brought everything they had with such big-heartedness, and they brought even more than was needed. Why didn't they in fact bring these other things that the Nesiim ended up bringing? A third issue is it really is hard to understand. The Nesiim did bring some very important donations for the garments of the Kohen Gadol and for the Mishkan. So why did they bemoan their situation, saying, oh, what should we do? And then, for the altar dedication, Rabbi Nosson says, they made sure to donate first, as though they needed to ensure they wouldn't have this problem again. Yet another question is the phraseology in Rashi that the Nesiim said, Yisnadvu tzibur mashem esnadvin, let the congregation donate what they will donate. Really, the quote could have just been that the Nesiim said, whatever they leave out, we will complete. Why the rather convoluted way of saying something simple? And why emphasize the fact what the people will lack, we will then bring, as though leaving something out was something they were going to do, like something would be lacking in their contribution? Why not say, and what they won't bring, we'll complete? It's also difficult to understand the Nesiim saying that the congregation brought everything, ma aleinu lasos. Now what should we do? What kind of a question is that? They should say, what should we bring, not what should we do? And finally, the question must be asked, why Rashi mentions the name of Rabbi Nosson? As we know, Rashi does so only when mentioning the name of the sage whose teaching he is quoting answers a question on the verse or on the Rashi itself that will be picked up by the keen eye of a seasoned scholar. So what is that question? To begin to answer all of these questions, we'll explore the particulars and details of Rabbi Nosson's question first. Rabbi Nosson asks, what did the Nesiim see that prompted them to be the first to donate at the Chanukah Samizbeach, the altar dedication, and they didn't do so at the Mishkan dedication? When you look at the question closely, it becomes obvious that this question isn't about why they came last to the donations of the Mishkan, but rather why they came first to donating to the altar dedication, which in fact is clearly stated as well in Rabbi Nassim's response, which is, therefore they donated first to the altar dedication. Now that is a puzzling question. After all, they are the Nasiim, the heads of the tribes. Surely that type of enthusiasm just makes good sense that they should bring donations first. On the other hand, if there is no question here about why they came last to donate to the Mishkan, and it's about why they came first later on to donate earliest to the Chanukah Samizbeach, why is this discussed here? Why does Rashi bring this up now? It only happens later in Parshas Nasi. Here's the explanation for this, and it's actually embedded in Rashi's explanation. By bringing the question regarding the donations the Nasiim brought to the Chanukah Samizbeach, Rashi doesn't seek to teach us that bringing the donations last was somehow lacking, or even laziness, but rather that the way they did things here was completely correct. This was the right way to do this. In fact, the question is really why they donated first to the dedication of the Mizbeach. So when Rashi says, Amar Rabbi Nassim, Ma ra'u ha-Nasiim, Rabbi Nassim said, what did the Nasiim see that motivated their actions there? It's not a question or commentary on an event in Parshas Nasi, but rather it's an explanation for what is happening here in our verse. What we looked at as Rashi's questioning the Nasiim here turns out not to be this at all. In fact, it's pretty clear that when we peer more closely at Rashi, the question is why they were misnadiv first later and not why they came last here. In other words, when Rashi says, Amar Rabbi Nassim says, Ma ra'u ha-Nasiim, what did the Nasiim see that prompted them to act first in Parshas Nasi? It isn't a question, it's an explanation for events here in Vayachel. So let's address this. Why did the Nasiim have to bring their donation last? Well, Rashi says that they said, let the community donate what they will donate, and what's missing will fill in. This speaks to the idea of what is leadership. First, the leader must see to the needs and obligations of his people, and only then consider anything else. Rashi actually addresses this very idea in Parshas Yisrei when he explains the pasuk and the words Vayered Moshe min ha'har el ha'am. Moshe descended from the mountain to the people. Rashi comments on the words min ha'har el ha'am, from the mountain to the people, and says that Moshe dealt with nothing personal when he came down from the mountain. He went directly to the people. Now, why is this surprising? Moshe came down from the mountain with a shlichus from Hashem to the people. Of course, he immediately went first to fulfill his shlichus, and not just to tend to his own things. But not tending to his own things doesn't mean that Moshe did not tend to his physical needs. It means he didn't even attend to his own personal part of the shlichus that he came down with, which was that he needed to prepare for ascending the mountain again, for Matan Torah, to go up a second time and receive the Torah. So while Moshe had his personal preparation to do, first he attended to the nation, ensuring they did what they had to do, and only afterwards did he prepare himself. The same thing happened here. The first concern for the Nasiim was that the community should contribute what they would contribute, and if anything would be missing, not if they didn't bring something, but rather it was a job of the leader of these Nasiim as leaders to see to it that the nation fulfilled their role to the best of their capabilities and with haste, bringing everything they possibly can. And once they've done that, fully applied themselves as a nation to bringing their all to the Mishkan, there might be something missing. And something missing might be things that once they had, but now no longer had, and were needed for the Mishkan. And so the Nesi'im would pick up the slack, or they would fill in the lack. Now we can understand the terminology used by the Nesi'im when they said, Ma aleinu la'asais. Once the nation had brought everything, they said, what should we do? When they discovered that the Yidden had brought so much to the Mishkan that Moshe had to say stop, they were addressing their positions as leaders, evaluating their position and actions in leadership, now that they had fulfilled the actual purpose, which was to see to it that the nation brought their donations. At this point, the Nesi'im considered their contribution to the Mishkan and brought the Avnei Shoyim and the Avnei Miluim and the other contributions that they brought. Now, while this was the right direction for the Nesi'im, it was also indication of a problem that existed with them. And that was how they understood that they need to be first in donating to the dedication of the altar that we discuss in Parshas Nasi. They recognized that at some level, there was a laziness that pervaded this decision to donate last. And this laziness resulted, as Rashi points out, in saying that the people brought everything, that at the end of this, the people had brought absolutely everything for the Mishkan, and there was nothing that was needed from the Nesi'im, which means that their donation was not actually considered as part of the donation of the people or equal to the donation of the nation. They recognized this and repaired it later at the dedication of the altar. Let's explore this a little further. The nation donated all 13 items that were required for the Mishkan and for the garments of the Kohanim. When they realized they didn't have the stones needed, they contributed even for this in gold and silver so that these stones, these precious stones, could be purchased, and literally nothing was lacking. When the Nesi'im contributed the stones that were needed and that they had, but the nation did not have for one reason or another, it wasn't even a need anymore, because even the money to purchase these things was available. All they did was save the people the work of making a purchase. So now we have to look at another question that comes up. If it's the correct behavior for a Nasi, for a leader, to turn only last to his own spiritual requirements, how could they then contribute first to the altar dedication? This doesn't exactly repair the mistake made by the Mishkan dedication. Behaving like a Nasi can't be repaired by not behaving like a Nasi. We must conclude then that once they knew that there was a semblance of laziness in their actions, they were aware that in this kind of circumstance, they would have to behave differently, even as they knew that their general behavior was right. You see, through the donations to the Mishkan, the possibility for V'shachanti B'Seichem, I will dwell among them, was manifest. Proof that the sin of the golden calf was forgiven. And so there was a desire and a need for great haste in bringing these contributions, in addition to the fact that all Jews participated. The waiting in this circumstance on the part of the Nesi'im was therefore not the right move. They should have rather seen to the donations coming in hastily so that more quickly all could be ready for fulfilling the work of the Mishkan. Alongside and simultaneously, while encouraging the nation to bring their donations, the Nesi'im should have been preparing their own donation. And so when it was time for the Chanukah Samizbeach, for everyone, they made sure to donate first alongside the people. We still have an issue here, though, and that is that a seasoned Torah scholar might ask how we can say that the Nesi'im's contribution, because it was not something that was actually ultimately needed, as we said, what the people didn't have, they gave gold and silver for, so that these things could be purchased, in other words, everything was covered, was considered as separate and not part of the nation's offerings to the Mishkan. How could we say that the Nesiim's offerings were considered separate? If the Nesiim urged the donations of the people, can't we say that they have a part in these donations, in the nation's offerings? And if that's the case, why is this considered a deficiency in the donations of the Nesiim? The answer to this is in the fact that Rashi mentions Rabbi Nosson. Among the many laws attributed to Rabbi Nosson is the law of Sha'avuda to Rabbi Nosson, the lien of Rabbi Nosson. It's like this. If Reuven owes a debt to Shimon, and Shimon owes a debt to Levi, then Maitzien Mizeh V'noisnim Lezeh. A lien is put upon the payment that is taken from Reuven, and it's given directly to Levi. Even though the obligation comes through Shimon, once paid, the lien carries over from Reuven to Levi, as though Shimon was never part of this. And the same is true in our discussion. While it's correct that the Nesiim encouraged and hurried the effort of bringing the donations for the Mishkan, for the work to begin, once the donations were brought, and they were brought by the people, it's a matter of Moitzien Mizeh, it went from the people, V'noisnin Lezeh, and it was given over to Hashem, like a direct donation, and the Nesiim are as if they had no part in this. In fact, we can accordingly say that the Nesiim may have thought that since the donations of the people would be coming through their encouragement, perhaps this would already be considered as their participation. And therefore they said, Yisnadvu tzibur mashen isnadvin. Let the congregation donate what they will donate, and what's left out will complete. It sounds like they were not at all sure that they would have to bring anything at all. Hence, their conclusion will complete it. In other words, on the off chance that we'll have to bring something that they don't have, we will complete the donations. But they didn't actually think they would be bringing anything, only maybe filling in what was missing. So they didn't say, Anu mevi'in, will bring. They said, we'll fill in what's missing. It was only when they saw how the people with such enthusiasm so quickly and completely brought everything, absolutely everything, they realized that this could not be considered as their participation. Now the conclusion of Rashi becomes clear as well. Rashi concludes saying, Ulefi shenis'atzlu mitchila nechsera eis mishmam. Because they were lazy at the beginning, there's a yud missing in their title, Nesiim, in this verse. Really, what does a missing yud have to do with their laziness? But the letter yud, small and described as just a dot, represents the attribute of humility. And it was an element of humility that was missing that brought them, so to speak, to this laziness. Nesiim, written without a yud, tells us that this laziness was expressed in a lack of humility. In other words, they felt the import of their positions as Nesiei Ha'eda, the chieftains of the tribes, when they fulfilled their roles of encouraging the nation to bring donations, and they brought them, and that they would be the ones to complete the task if unfulfilled. This resulted in that the donations they eventually gave were not considered as one with the donations of the entire nation, because ultimately they really were not needed from them. The lesson here for every Jew is about where one's personal nesius lies. Each of us is a nosi, a leader, over a small city, over an ir ktana, over our bodies, with its 248 limbs and 365 sinews. In order for our personal Mishkan to be complete, and the way that it can be, where nothing is lacking in our divine service, is to ensure that the little yud of humility remains intact and always active. The halacha of a king who bows during prayer, as taught in Maseches Brachos, and is not supposed to rise until he concludes the entire service, because the loftier one's status, the more important it is that he demonstrates humility and greater subservience to Hashem, is an example for what we are discussing here. One may not have a sense of himself as the one connecting factor between another Yid and God. When one's hashpa'ah, influence on another Jew, and his leadership is with humility, one merits to not err in thinking that he suffices with what he accomplishes with another Jew, and he increases his own divine service in the effort of study of Torah and in his performance of mitzvahs with greater strength and emphasis. And the Rebbe concludes, through this Aveda, in this way, with a bittul necessary and intact, we bring down Mashiach Tzidkenu, whose primary achievement is bringing the Yud of Yechida down to us. May he come, redeem us, and take us speedily to our land.